This is Lesson 17, designated Unit XQ of the Home Study Course. The title of this lecture is Deceptive Spirits and Their Activities. There's nothing more baffling to many Christians than the fact that God Almighty allows deceptive and hostile spirits to exist on earth. It is also puzzling that he even permits the continued activities of Satan the devil and the angels that support him. Since they apparently cause so much mischief, and indeed even a great deal of harm, one would think that God would simply step in, curtail their activities, and put a stop to all the hellish things that they do. Believe me, if God wanted to do such a thing, he could accomplish it by a simple command, which could be given like the snap of a finger, and Satan, with all the evil forces associated with him, would cease their activities immediately. The fact is, God the Father, Yahweh himself, is in complete control of this universe, and there is not a thing occurring anywhere in the universe that is not under the thorough domination of God. Even the hairs on your head are numbered, and a sparrow does not fall to the ground without God's overall recognition and allowance. And besides that, God the Father has handed over the executive powers of running this universe to Jesus Christ, and this is clearly attested in the Scriptures. We find Christ himself after his resurrection, and when he was teaching his apostles for the last time while he was here in the flesh, but yet in his resurrected state, he was giving them teachings about the future, what they were to do, and then on down to our time today. And he wanted them to know one thing for certain, and this is one point that we ourselves today must take into recognition if we're going to comprehend what the teaching of the Scripture is all about. This is what he said to them in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, the apostles, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now he means all power under the Father, of course, and the Apostle Paul mentioned that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But all power has now been designated to none other than Christ Jesus because of the things that he has done for us back there some 1900 and some odd years ago when he accomplished the plan of God to come down here and to redeem us to him and to become the ruler finally of this entire world and this entire universe under God the Father. And the glory of the whole thing is, when we really read the Scripture on this matter, is to find out that we ourselves are to be heirs with him of the entirety of this universe, under him, as a first born, as a first begotten of Christ, and of course he's the firstborn of all of God's creations by the resurrection from the dead. But so can you, so can I, so can all people who are in Christ come to the same type of realization as Jesus Christ has at the present time. He has been given, under God the Father, executive powers to rule not only on this earth, and I mean the entirety of it, but it stretches out his power and authority to embrace the entirety of this universe. And that's why he said, all power, not just a little bit, but all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, if it means all power, it must mean all power. It must mean almighty. It must mean a type of omnipotence which no one else could possibly have other than God the Father, who dispatches to Jesus Christ this authority. And what is the power that God has? You know, when we read the Scripture on this matter, there can be no question that God is the only one that is pulling the switches or the levers and pressing the buttons and doing what he wishes in this earth. In fact, if we read the Scripture both in the Old and New Testament, this is made abundantly clear. And if all power is given to by God the Father, to Christ Jesus, we can be assured that that means power over Satan and his angels and all deceptive spirits, no matter where they are, all power and authority on earth, no matter where we might find it or them or whatever, all of it, even in your own family, in your own life, even with you, everything is under the complete domination of Christ Jesus and at the present time. However, he does have a plan that he's working out here below to be able to bring all of the things to pass which he has prophesied. And I tell you, they are going to be beautiful indeed. And indeed, they are beautiful already if we can have the common sense and the spiritual sense to realize why we are here on this earth. And it's the Holy Scripture that gives us the teaching about all of this and how marvelous and glorious and wonderful the whole thing is if we can just take in the full scope of the biblical revelation on these matters. And the first place we've got to start And I mean the very first place is the recognition that God the Father is in complete control. And when it says he's handed over the executive powers underneath himself to Jesus Christ in his glorified state, it means exactly what it says. So all power now is in the hands of Christ Jesus. And if he wanted to stop anything, or if he wanted to produce anything, or initiate anything, or to sustain anything, anything that he wishes to do can be done. He could put a stop to Satan the devil's activities immediately, as I said before, if he wished to do so. All happens to be under the authority and power of Christ Jesus that God the Father has given to him. And that power is shown so clearly in the Bible. In certain sections of the Old Testament, it's just made so beautiful so that anyone ought to be able to realize that whatever happens on this earth, whether it be good or whether it be bad, really emanates from God, and he is the one in complete authority and control. He is the one who gives the allowance of everything that occurs, and he can change your life for good, or he can allow bad to come if he wishes, but he is in complete control. Now, we know the final wishes of God is to redeem all of us and to bring us into his divine family. That is the purpose for life here on this earth. And it's wonderful indeed when we can see the full scope of the salvation that we can find in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Scripture tells us this. But the first step, as I said a few moments ago, to understanding where God is in our lives and the authority that he has is to go to the statements of the Bible that shows that authority which he has handed over to Christ Jesus. Now let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 8. Moses was inspired to write, "See now with me," now this is Yahweh speaking, this is God, the God of the Old Testament, which, by the way, happens to be God the Father, and he used Christ Jesus even back there, and even the angel of the Lord, and others, and prophets, and so forth, to speak in his name. But God the Father, of course, was not made known to the Old Testament people. However, when he gives orders or dictates in his own name, he uses various agents to do that, and one of them was Moses. And even Moses himself, as recorded in Exodus chapter 4, had the rank of Elohim on him, that is the rank of God. And when he spoke, it was just exactly as God was speaking. And he wrote the first five books of the Bible, called the Pentateuch, or otherwise the Torah, or the Law. And in this last book of the Torah, or the Law, as it's called in the Hebrew, here is what Moses was inspired to record. Verse 39 of Deuteronomy 32. "See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." Now, that's quite a statement to make when you think about it. It says that God not only does good for people, but he can also cause harm. And throughout the scripture, we find that he has done that on many occasions. In Isaiah chapter 45 and verses 7, 8, 9, and in that area right in there, it shows that God is not only the one who creates good, but he is the one who creates and even sustains bad from time to time. This is because he is in complete control. He is the one who, as I said before, pushes all the buttons, he pulls all the levers, he is the one who does what he wishes on this earth, and no one tells him what to do. And he has handed those executive powers, as the scripture says, and I firmly believe, into the hands of Jesus Christ. And he wishes to give the same type of power and authority to all of us in the future, when the dispensation of the fullness of times comes, when we are brought into the very presence of God the Father through Jesus Christ, when we are given a bodily composition as he has, when we are given the spiritual character that they have, then we can also assume these same powers under the Father and under the firstborn, of course, because God the Father will always maintain his fathership, and Jesus Christ will always maintain his firstborn status. However, since we are going to be in Christ, all of us are going to be reckoned by God the Father as the firstborn, just as he looks upon Christ Jesus today. And Christ Jesus, as I said before, and as he made it abundantly clear, and we find in many sections of the scripture, in the New Testament in particular, that he has all power given to him in heaven and earth at the present time. However, he exercises that power in the manner that he sees fit. He is able to give it to certain individuals here on this earth, human beings. He is able also to dispatch authority and power to various spiritual beings, including Satan the devil, if he wishes. Satan the devil could do nothing, and I'm going to show this in a moment, He can do nothing unless God the Father, or I should say in this case, Christ Jesus, allows him to do what he does. Because the Bible makes it clear, as I said before, who is in charge. Now look at 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 6. This is a marvelous section of Scripture here, which just reiterates in one way what Moses said in Deuteronomy 32, but it gives it in a little more graphic detail. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "The Lord killeth," that is, Yahweh killeth, "and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. Yahweh makes poor, he maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth," that means the very foundation of this earth, "are the Lord's," that belongs to Yahweh, "and he hath set the world upon them." Now it goes on with many other scriptures similar to this. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11, it says, "O Lord, Yahweh, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all." Now it could go on, I could go on and on with many other scriptures to show this. And by the way, it even goes into the New Testament. They were able to recognize without the shadow of doubt that God was in control of everything. Even Jesus said in John 19 and verse 11, "Thou couldest have no power," he said to Pilate, "thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." So God the Father even allowed Pilate, who was the Roman procurator of Palestine, of Judea at that time, he allowed him to be able to crucify or to have a hand in the crucifixion of none other than Jesus Christ. Now Pilate himself was just carrying out the plan of God, because Christ Jesus, as it says in the book of Revelation, was slain before the foundation of the world. All of this was in the plan of God. Of course, Pilate had his role to play. Caiaphas, the high priest, had his role to play. Judas, who betrayed him, had his role to play. And God was in all of this. And of course, Christ Jesus had his role to play when he was tried before the Sanhedrin and then before the Roman government and then whipped and buffeted by the Roman soldiers and then finally taken to the Mount of Olives and put up on a tree and then crucified, and then stoned, as a matter of fact, to where his body was just absolutely looking like, and pardon me for saying it, but this is exactly what Isaiah 52 says, he was looking like, in a sense, raw hamburger, if we want to put it that way, up there on that tree, once they got through pelting him with stones. And it's no wonder that he died so quickly. It took him 6 hours to die as he was nailed to that board plank, and the board plank was nailed to a living tree. And while he was there, he was pummeled by stones for about a six-hour period. And he became so disfigured that you could hardly tell that he was a human being. Now, that's exactly what it says in Isaiah 52 in the prophecy concerning him. And the interesting thing about this is that all of this was in the plan of God before the foundation of the world. And that causes some of us to scratch our heads, doesn't it? Because it's rather puzzling and baffling why God, the Father, would allow his own son, and why Christ Jesus, as being his son, would be willing to go through all of this for us. You know, it's rather puzzling. But at the same time, when you see the full scope of the salvation that we have in Christ, then we will begin to understand the reasons why he went through that great agony and pain that he was subjected to, and that he himself subjected himself. He said, "I laid down my own life." Now, God the Father approved of it, of course. And then God the Father certainly, 3 days later, raised him from the dead and gave him the glory that he had before. In fact, even greater glory, because now he had not only redeemed himself, but he had redeemed the entirety of the world, and it reaches out finally to the redemption of the universe and him. Christ Jesus and God the Father have a plan. And one of these days in a future lesson, I'm going to show, and I think very clearly, just exactly why that great agony up there on the Mount of Olives took place, why Christ felt it was necessary to go through that crucifixion and the stoning and finally the death up there overlooking the city of Jerusalem, and then later on the resurrection of the dead of his body from the dead exactly on time. You know, these things can be made very clear and very plain, and there are good reasons for all of that. Now, sometimes we do not understand, it seems like, just exactly why it would have to be in the fashion that God had planned, because we don't usually think that God has anything to do with evil. Oh, yes, he does. Evil is nothing more than bad. You know, it's the opposite of good. And God takes his authority to render it, I should say, in all ways, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And after all, he's the Almighty, and he knows exactly what he's doing. And the greatest evil of all that God the Father could have done, in one way of looking at it, is to allow his own son to be buffeted and then finally crucified and pelted by stones up there on the Mount of Olives in a most terrible and despicable way. Yes, that is a great evil, but great glory came from it also, didn't it? Yes, God is found doing what he always does in the crucifixion. He gave good to Christ, he gave bad to Christ, to his own son. But finally he gave good by the resurrection from the dead. And Christ Jesus at the present time is sitting at the very right hand of the Father with all power and authority in heaven and in earth. They know what they are doing. Now our problems that we have here on this earth may be minuscule compared to what Christ had to go through. But yet we even suffer ourselves, don't we? And he even says that we do. And the righteous shall suffer from time to time. But we can also have glory as well. We can have good things. God is the one, you see, who is in complete control. And we've got to understand that. What I'm trying to say in this lecture here, which concerns deceptive spirits and also Satan the devil and his angels, is to let everybody know that the Scripture makes it clear that it is God the Father and Christ Jesus who are in control. And they are in control over Satan and his demons. All the evil spirits are under the complete domination of God. And they have to do exactly as God the Father, or Christ Jesus in the executive sense now, has to say. And they will obey. They have to obey. Because they are created beings and far, far inferior than Jesus Christ. And indeed, if you use a heavenly illustration like the sun and the moon, we would say the sun, which, by the way, is the center of our solar system, as we're all aware, and that all life on Earth or wherever it might be on the other planets and things like that, must be sustained by the light of the sun. But you know, there are other bodies in our solar system here that give no light of themselves, like the moon, for example. The moon circles the Earth every month, and we see at full moon time a very bright moon. Just after 6 o'clock in the evening, you can look into the eastern sky at the time of the full moon and see it come above the surface there, and it's a very beautiful thing. But that light which you see on the moon is reflected light coming from the sun. The sun is the source of power. The sun is the source of authority. And, you know, even in the Bible, God is even compared to the sun, S-U-N in this case, the sun of righteousness. And he is the one, through Christ, that gives the light to give life to this world. But the moon, it gives life. It gives light as well, doesn't it, at nighttime, and especially at the full moon period. But that light is reflected. And, you know, the moon sometimes is compared with evil, or compared with, let's say, even Satan the devil, if you go to the book of Revelation. And, it speaks about the moon being under the feet of the virgin who gives birth to the man-child. And though there is an astronomical significance to what is stated there in Revelation chapter 12, there is also a symbolic teaching that the moon, which happens to be the light that governs the darkness, is going to be under the feet of the woman who gives birth to the man-child as to rule all nations with a rod of iron. The moon sometimes is compared to Satan the devil or to evil. Now, Satan the devil has light, certainly, like the moon does. But the moon is reflected light, you see, coming from the sun. If the sun was not there giving light in the first place, the moon would be as dark could be. But the moon does give light because the sun shines on the moon. And then the moon then can reflect that light back to the earth. And so we have the sun and the moon relationship there. But that is exactly the relationship between God the Father and Satan the devil. Or God the Father and all of us, as a matter of fact. Because the glory that you and I have, any power or authority that we have, any blessings that we have, all emanate from God. They cannot come innately from ourselves. Nothing springs up from in ourselves, of ourselves, that is worth anything to speak of. Everything comes from God the Father through Christ Jesus, and it's just like the sun, in this case, S-U-N, giving light to our solar system and to the earth. So Satan the devil, you see, is a person with authority that God has allowed to be in that position at the present time. But still, That power is under the domination and control of Jesus Christ. And that is the way it is at the present time, and that's the way it will be from now on. Now, the Bible says that God is the one in complete control. Now, when it comes to that power of God the Father, as I said, he has given it to Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 21 and 22 out of several verses that I could quote in this scripture. This is a very good one here from the Apostle Paul, because it shows in a summing up fashion just exactly the power that has been given to Christ Jesus. It says this in verse 20, which he wrought in Christ, speaking about greatness and power according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, in heavenly places. Now look at verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, that is in this time period, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, that means under Christ's feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, that is the ecclesia, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Now he includes the church here, which represents his body, and you are a part of that ecclesia. That's the Greek for church. It means the called out ones, the ones who have been called to be a part of the body of Christ at this time. And if you're a part of the body of Christ, you're going to inherit the same things that Christ Jesus now has at the present time, which means all power and authority in heaven and in earth under, of course, God the Father. So you see, Paul here was showing in this majestic section of Scripture here just how powerful we find Jesus Christ and the authority that he has. And then going on in Philippians chapter 2, which is the next book, go to verse 9, and it speaks about God the Father here hath highly exalted him, that's Christ, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, even where the spirits are, in Tartarus, underneath the earth. They also are going to bow. Everyone is going to bow. The knees will bow to God the Father and to Christ Jesus. And it says here particularly to Christ Jesus in this section of Scripture. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, this is going to happen in the future. And it already is happening in one way of looking at it, because all that Christ has to do, if he wishes, is to snap his finger, so to speak, or to say the word quickly, and anything he says will be accomplished by God the Father. However, we do know that there is a plan that is being worked out here on this earth and in the universe. There is a time schedule for these things. And in the meantime, Satan the devil has been given authority and power. Granted, it's reflected power, as I said before, like the light of the moon, but still it is there. And that power and authority is higher than yours and mine at the present time. And we're told to respect Satan. Now, I didn't say worship Satan, not at all. I said respect him. Respect him and the authority that God has given. Now, by respect, again, that doesn't mean that we just have to look up in adoration. Oh, no. But, you know, all authority on this earth or in this universe is given by God. And whomever he places in that authority, you ought to respect that authority. And, in fact, knowing that God is in complete control, by respecting the authority, you are respecting God. And for the present time, do you know that Satan the devil has a certain amount of authority on this earth, and it's pretty powerful? Now, it's going to come to an end one of these days, and Jesus Christ is going to take over the complete authority that is the practical or the pertinent authority, the intermediate authority, if you want to call it that, of Satan the devil. Now, Christ is over all at the present time, but you know, he allows certain individuals to exist on this earth. He brought up Nebuchadnezzar and allowed him to exist. Sargon, the ancient Assyrian, he allowed to exist. Pharaoh, he allowed to exist. All the pharaohs, as a matter of fact. Everyone who is in rulership on earth today, whether in the United States or wherever, Soviet Union, all happen to be in power and authority because Christ Jesus allows them. But there is an intermediate power that Christ Jesus allows to be in control over the nations of the world at this present time. And the Bible shows that that power is Satan the devil, and others that Satan has at his beck and call, but all happens to be under God. Now, this is made quite clear that Satan has power, but everything is under the domination of Christ, and everything is going on a time schedule just like God the Father and Christ Jesus have determined and made manifest even before the foundation of this world. Satan himself, though he does have a certain amount of authority, and it's going to last until the second coming of Christ back to this earth. And God is not going to take him, that is Christ Jesus, is not going to take Satan out of authority until a particular time. He's going to allow him to continue doing exactly what he wants to do, but all of that is under the authority of Christ. Satan the devil can do nothing that Christ Jesus does not approve of. Now, I know that sounds rather dramatic, but it happens to be a fact. And if you don't approve of what Satan the devil does, and many of us don't, of course, he does lots of things that are not good. But I'll tell you this, he is under the authority and control of Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you this, you better be thankful to God the Father that that is the case. Because all is going to work out good in the end. There is a purpose why even Satan the devil and his evil spirits, his deceptive spirits, are here on this earth at the present time. But you, as a child of God, do not have to fear them. Because you are a child of Almighty God through Christ Jesus. And he will sometimes allow Satan to afflict. That's quite true. He even did it with the Apostle Paul. But he is the one, that is Christ Jesus, who is in complete authority. And Satan the devil, or no demon, or no spirit, nothing, no one, can do anything to you or to me or to any of our relatives or anybody in the world, for that matter, unless God the Father is supervising it under Christ Jesus. It will all work out for the good. The point is, the Bible makes it clear that Satan the devil has power, that he can even be in the heavenlies at the present time. He hasn't been completely cast down from heaven yet, as Revelation chapter 12 says will occur. Not yet. I know he says, I saw Satan fall from heaven. That's what it says back in the book of Luke. But that was in the sense that the apostles were going out and they were casting out demons. They were healing the sick and things like that. And the very things that Satan the devil had been afflicting people with, they were now being taken, these afflictions were being taken away. And as a result of that, Satan's power was being diminished. And he was falling in a spiritual sense even back at that time. But his actual fall from heaven will be in the future, as recorded in the book of Revelation in chapter 12. There is a particular time for that to occur just prior to the second advent of Christ to this earth. And it has not yet occurred. Satan the devil and his demons and his angels, I can put it that way, many of them, are still in heaven. That does not mean that they can't be here on earth too. They can come and go. That's quite true. And God even allows it, again, under his supervision. But they are still in heaven and will continue to be there until they are expelled from heaven at the time of the war in heaven, mentioned there in Revelation chapter 12, when Michael and his angels fight against Satan and his angels, and Satan will be cast down with his angels to this earth. But at the present time, Satan actually has access to heaven, and he can talk to the Father. He can talk to, it says Yahweh, so that must mean the Father. He can also talk to Christ Jesus. Believe it or not, that's what the Scripture says. And he's under the orders of them. Now, this may sound a little strange, but it's only strange because we have not taken into recognition the fullness of the teaching of the Scripture, because the Bible says that God Almighty is in control, complete control of all things on this universe, or in this universe. And though we have free will, yes, but let me tell you this, all our wills that are not in conformity to the will of God the Father are not going to take place. I mean, anything that we will not take place unless it's under the complete authority or permission of God the Father and Christ Jesus, of course, who has the executive powers at the present time. But Satan cannot do a thing unless God gives him permission. And this is even mentioned back there in the book of Job. I think this is very important for us to look at this time. Let's turn back there to chapter 1 of the book of Job, and we find that a discourse is taking place up in heaven. We find that Satan appears before God, as it says, and has a conversation with Yahweh, and talks to him about what he is doing here on earth. And we'll find in a moment that the power of Satan, or the adversary, sometimes called the devil, which means the slanderer and all of that, and the accuser of the people of God here on this earth before God in heaven and all of that. All right, now he is periodically able to come before God and talk to him. That certainly was the case in the past, and he has not been expelled from heaven yet, so apparently this is still going on at the present time, that is, from time to time. Now look at Job chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahweh," or the Lord. Now the sons of God in this case would be angels. "And Satan," that is the adversary, "came also amongst them. And Yahweh said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." It means he was all over the earth. He was going from one section to the other, up one side, down the other, and so forth. And after all, this earth is under the authority of Satan, as we will see in a few moments. That is, under God the Father and Christ, of course. But still, he has his authority at the present time. And here he was going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now." Now this is Satan saying to God, "Put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Now verse 12. "And the Lord," this is Yahweh, "said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power." Now notice this. All that he has is in your power now, Satan. Everything is in your power. Now who gave the allowance to Satan for Job's possessions and everything to be in his power? It's God himself. It's Yahweh who gave the permission. Now, if he would not have given it, Satan would not have had in his power all of Job's possessions. But he said here, "All that he hath is in thy power." Now, notice, though, a stipulation. "Only upon himself," that is, upon Job, "put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And it goes on to say that he came down to this earth and he stripped Job of all of his possessions. And the most precious, of course, were his children and other things like that. Now, God gave Satan the power and the authority to do this evil to Job. But there is one thing that Job could not do. He could not touch the person at this juncture here, the person of Job. And let me tell you, when God gives an order, Satan's going to obey it. Absolutely. He had no alternative. He would have to do exactly as God told him. And when he said, "Don't touch Job," it meant he meant business. And, of course, Satan didn't for one moment touch Job. And I'll tell you this, if God the Father in heaven, or Christ Jesus in heaven, decides that you're going to be blessed, or I or any of us, by being in contact with him, he is going to protect us without the shadow of a doubt, and Satan the devil couldn't touch us if he wanted to. Now, that is if God wishes it. Sometimes, like even with the Apostle Paul, he allowed a messenger of Satan to afflict the Apostle Paul so that Paul would keep humble and all of that. But let me tell you this, all was still under the control of Jesus Christ. He wasn't abandoning Paul. He won't abandon you either if afflictions come your way or difficulties that he allows Satan actually to perform on you. He is in complete and utter control. That's what this book of Job is saying, and that's what we will find throughout the entirety of the scripture. Now, he wasn't able to touch Job, that is, Satan wasn't, at the first encounter. But then another time came. Now, this is found in the second chapter of the book of Job. Again, there was a day. Now, this is at another time when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, Yahweh, and Satan came also amongst them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. So it's the same thing. And it seems like that these encounters between Satan and Yahweh occur from time to time. And certainly this was in the lifetime of Job, within a matter of how many days would it be, or weeks or months. Certainly couldn't have been much more than a year or so, you would think. That this circumstance here in chapter 2 was taking place because it all happened within a period of time of Job's life, and it couldn't have been very long. So God asks him again, Where have you been? And Satan answered just as before, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hath you not considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. and still he holds fast in his integrity, although you moved me against him to destroy him without a cause. Now, isn't that interesting? It was Satan who provoked God into allowing Job to be afflicted. Well, Job wasn't afflicted in this case so far, but his possessions to be taken away from him, his prized possessions, including his children, of course. Now, God was saying here, you moved me to do this, but I'm the one that did it. You see, even though Satan performed the act, God was the one who was responsible. And that is the way it is for everything on earth, and we've got to understand that. Once we do, then is when we can begin to comprehend what the teaching of the Bible is all about, and the power of God that not only has created this universe, but sustains it, and the reason why we are here on this earth, to become like he is. Once we know the power that he has, then we can begin to appreciate who God really is and who Jesus Christ really is. So he said to Satan here, you moved me against him to destroy him without a cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now. Now this is Satan saying, God, Yahweh, you put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said unto Satan, now notice, here's the allowance. Behold, he is in thine hand. But there's still one stipulation. But save his life. He couldn't kill him. He could do anything to his body that he wanted, but he couldn't kill him. God reserved that to himself. He gave Satan all this authority. And you know what happened? Well, Satan goes down. And then the next about 38 chapters here, or 36 as a matter of fact, we find Satan having afflicted Job. And he was dire sick. I mean, the malady that he had was something similar to what our Lord went through, Christ Jesus, while he was here on earth. But it was a very, very terrible thing. And Job then had his counselors, you know, the three older men that finally counseled him, and they did not give him proper advice. Then he had a young man by the name of Elihu, a very mysterious young man, who came along and gave him proper advice, but Job didn't accept that. And then starting in about chapter 38, God himself has to come to Job and start talking to him. And he talks to Job through chapter 38 and then 39 and then 40. In fact, God has to come to Job on two different occasions to make Job see that he is the one in charge, and that though he may not have done anything wrong to deserve the punishment so-called that he was undergoing, yet at the same time, God said, I am the one in charge. And that's the one thing that Job had to find out. And once he found out that God was the one in charge, that all things are under the control of God, and that God loves us all, but he uses various means and ways to be able to bring us into a love relationship with him. And sometimes it does involve evil. From time to time, it does. But good is going to predominate. Once Job began to understand that, he said then, I repent in dust and ashes. And in chapter 41 of the book of Job, we find that he comes back into a complete reconciled state with God. He understood that God was in control of everything, and then God blessed him abundantly with not only spiritual things, but physical things. Now, that's what the whole of the book of Job is about. But you see, the thing is, right at the very beginning here of Job, is to show that it is God the Father, or Yahweh, and Christ Jesus, in this case, who happens to be in complete control, even of Satan the devil, and nothing could have happened to Job unless Yahweh would have given the permission. Nothing at all. And the same thing applies to you, and the same thing applies to me. And let me tell you this, God the Father has made it clear through Christ Jesus that he loves us all. And Christ says he loves us. And Christ loves us too. Anything that happens to us on this earth, it might be very traumatic from time to time. We might all have to walk through some deep waters. Every one of us has, have we not? That's true. But you know, he is there by our side to sustain us. He is there to keep us, our heads above water. And even if it comes to the place where we have to die, we are still in the arms of the Father through Christ Jesus, and we will have the victory in the end. In fact, we got the victory already, because Christ Jesus has got the victory over death, over pain, over difficulties, over everything. And what we are going through here on this earth is a training period to be able to bring us into the same kind of condition and the same type of authority and power that Christ Jesus has at the present time. It is wonderful indeed what God has planned for us here on this earth. But sometimes he involves evil in it. Sometimes bad has to be given. And God knows what he's doing. Christ Jesus knows it. And sometimes he even uses Satan the devil to be able to afflict people, to bring them into a certain recognition of him. He does all types of things like that because, you see, it is God who is in control. And right now, as far as the executive powers are concerned for this earth, it is Jesus Christ. However, until the second advent of Christ, until the time that Satan is completely taken away from his authority, Satan the devil will continue under the power of Christ and under the allowance of Christ to have his authority here on this earth amongst the various nations of the world. Now, the Apostle Paul made it clear, and so did Christ himself while he was here on earth, that Satan the devil does have this reflected power from God, and he's still in authority. He's still in authority over the nations of this world. Again, as I said before, when Christ Jesus comes back, he's going to take away that domination that he has allowed Satan to have. But at the present, Satan and his cohorts, spiritual cohorts, are in charge of various nations of this world. And this is made clear in the Scripture. Now you go to Ephesians chapter 2. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. In verses 2 and 3, here's what he says. Let's see if I turn to it very quickly. And he mentions this power that Christ has. And verse 2, wherein in time past you Ephesians, walked according to the course of this world. That means of the time period when this world is here in existence. This system is what it means. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now this prince of the power of the air, of the atmosphere that envelops this earth, the totality of this earth, the prince that controls that, happens to be this Satan the devil. And it says, among whom also we also had our conversation, it means our behavior, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We now have authority in one way over Satan the devil, not because we ourselves have authority, but Christ does. And if we're in contact with Christ, if we are a member of his body, which we are, then nothing can happen to us, even by Satan the devil himself, unless Christ Jesus himself gives the absolute permission. And that is for only a good cause for you and me and everybody else. Only at that time will Christ Jesus allow Satan the devil to do anything to us. But still, it's under the control of Christ Jesus. We must understand that. But it says here that he is the prince of the power of the air. Prince means ruler, and the power means authority, and the air means the atmosphere around this whole earth. You might say then, Satan the devil is in control of things on this earth. And of course, as I said before, time and again, and I don't apologize for emphasizing this, because I think it's most important, Satan's authority is under that of Christ in the overall sense. It will finally be taken away at the second advent, absolutely, when he is chained for 1,000 years and all of that. But still, at this present time, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, the Apostle Paul shows the battle that we have to fight. And we're fighting it through Christ Jesus, that's quite true, but we have our part to play. We are like actors on a stage, he said, back in Corinthians. And the Holy Spirit is with us, and God, through Christ, is guiding us and things like that. But we have a battle to undergo, and we are presently in that. He says in verse 12 here of chapter 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, that means in the heavenlies. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And you know you ought to read that rest of that section there, going down to verse 17 and 18, because Paul says we can have all the protection in the world. And you know, when we have to come before or fight or wrestle against these powers, if you'll read what Paul says there in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 18, all of our defense is head-on with Satan the devil. We don't turn our back on him. Head-on with the principalities and the powers. Because you see, we have God the Father in Christ Jesus behind us. And I want to tell you this, if all the world is against you, and I mean everybody in the world is against you, and you have Jesus Christ on your side, you're in the majority. You have got the power of the universe behind you. And I would have the same thing. And by the way, so would all Christians on this earth. We need to realize here that we don't turn our backs, so this scripture says here, on Satan the devil. All of the defense that we have in wrestling against these principalities and powers is a defense in the forefront of our bodies, not in the back, because we don't turn our backs on them. We don't have to, because Christ Jesus has won the victory. And if we're in him, we are going to also have the victory. And nothing can happen to us that Christ Jesus is not in control of. But the authority, you see, of on this earth at the present time, and it reaches even into certain parts of the heavenly, happens to be these principalities and these powers, these rulers of the darkness of the world. And he says, against the spiritual wickedness in high places, in heavenly places even. So there is authority and power that Jesus Christ allows these individuals to have, these spiritual entities. In fact, even when Christ was here on earth, and he was being tempted by Satan the devil on the three major occasions recorded there in Matthew chapter 4, you will recall that the last temptation or trial of Christ that Satan subjected our Savior to was by offering him something, which, by the way, he had power to do. He offered him the kingdoms of this world if Christ Jesus would fall down and worship him. And here it is in Matthew chapter 4, and beginning in verse 8, he says, this concludes side 1 of lesson 17 of the Home Study Course. Please turn over the cassette tape at this juncture.